successfully adjusted the microphone. Press record.
We have this setup stuff that just, it's funny. It's very temperamental.
There were a few episodes in the middle of the pod where I messed up my where I set my microphone, so I found myself breathing into the mic all the time, and it was driving me crazy. And I didn't get any comments about it, but it drove me crazy. So now I've set up the microphone in such a way.
I think it's because the people that hear you are just, they love you enough to be like, oh, he's alive. I can hear him breathing.
He's alive. Right. I can hear him wheeze.
Yeah,
wheeze.
You remember when I was close enough to him where he would... So, you know how I love rockets.
Do I ever?
And I have been watching over and over and over again Flight 3. And every information, you know, I just... Like, it's the first thing I pick up in the morning. I want to know what's going on in SpaceX.
Yeah.
Or any of them. Like, Blue Origins has their big rocket that's supposed to go off this year.
Okay.
So they're talking that they may be able to light the fourth rocket off next month.
Yep. I love it.
Next month.
Well, they've built 30. They want to get to where they're launching them every few days.
Yeah. They don't have 30 ready to go.
Okay.
I mean, you mean they bought... Yeah. Number 29, the ship 29 is going, and I think it's going to be booster 10.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's really, really cool stuff.
Very exciting.
And I just, like, it's fascinating. Not only that, but it looks like the FAA is getting on board, and they're like, we're just going to give you a group license. Because the last one went...
It can be like a Jamba Juice punch card.
Yeah. It's like, you've done 3, and now you get 5 for free. They want to do total of up to 9. He'd like to do 6 to 9 launches this year. Of just that rocket. Of just that rocket. Anyway,
before we lose our audience to another rocket episode, we're going to change the subject.
Interestingly enough, no, I got one more thing. Boeing has a capsule that they're supposed to resupply. Right now, the best resupplier is SpaceX capsule, but Boeing has a capsule that it keeps getting canceled, and it's like crazy amounts of money, and they can't get the stupid thing to work. Poor Boeing. They're having a hard time. You see, their planes are falling apart.
Yeah, it's become a common meme for their planes to fall apart.
It's kind of sad.
I'm not really jumping in on the meme on that because I'm like, yeah, like these planes have been in service for 60 years. Like things are going to, and they fly at 30,000 feet carrying 400 people. Like I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's not.
But like there are people are hating on it because it does seem like they're prioritizing, you know, all the weird social corporate crap over just making solid planes at a good clip.
Yeah, they're...
Like, I don't want to say his name again because we can't talk about rockets, we can't talk about him, but, you know, if certain geniuses ran Boeing, it'd be running different. you know what I mean? For starters, they wouldn't have stopped inventing stuff. You know what I mean?
I'm just rehashing the same thing over and over again. Where's their other... So Everett Washington is their main one. Didn't they move a big... plant down to like North Carolina or something like that?
I don't know.
Oh. I think from what I heard,
South Carolina.
One of the criticisms is the fact that they did, it is South Carolina, moved to South Carolina a lot of their manufacturing and that they don't have as good a quality from there.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, interesting. But I wonder if that's just kind of hype because it's certainly cheaper to do things in South Carolina than Seattle area.
William, you had a mission call.
I did. Yes.
Let's hear it.
Tuesday. So if you don't know, they all come out on Tuesday. We've talked a little bit about that before, so it's really exciting. Had about 4 or 5 people that were, you know, expecting things. One of them was my daughter.
Yeah.
And she opened her call, and she's going to Fort Collins, Colorado.
Nice. Now, it so happens we have another friend who's currently in that mission.
Yes.
He'll be returning shortly before she departs.
Tyler Walters, one month before.
And he's having a great time. He's having a great experience.
Yeah, and he really, 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 really loves his mission president and the mission mom. I don't know, what do they call them? I know they call them mission leaders.
I call them mission leaders.
Just... Yeah, so the mission leaders. And the sister mission leader, she is actually... a relative of a very dear friend of Madeline's.
Oh, excellent.
So she's already been announced to the mission leaders that she's coming. And strangely, Tyler,
that's
who's
fun.
Out there right now, he he's the assistant to the president, so he's in the office with the mission leaders.
Yeah,
and he was Madeline's first prom date. So
that's fun.
The first prom both of them went on were with each other, so that was kind of cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah, so it's exciting. They're excited. We're excited.
She's head out in excited. July.
July 8th. She cool. starts.
All right.
So, it's interesting how each one of these calls just seems perfect for the person as it comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like it's like, oh, Max is going to Guatemala. That makes sense.
You know,
sense.
Tyler and his mission. Just reading his letters sometimes, it actually made me feel hope and confidence. You know, there are some missions where you can go to where things are not going great and they're kind of going slowly and confusedly. And I read Tyler's letters about his mission, and it's going how you would want and expect a mission to go.
Very much.
And it gave me great confidence so it's kind of great that your daughter gets to go to that mission.
Actually, not on Tyler's list. I should get on it.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so you got a mission call. And then I did something, there's this thing that they say in games, which is funny, which is when you're mad at a game, when you're playing a video game and you hit a wall and you can't get past a certain point of a game.
I'm on that in your game.
You rage quit.
Oh yeah, I'm rage quitting.
But you don't just, it's like you do something drastic to show that you're serious. And so like, as if the universe is listening, as if your game console cares, you like delete it and you delete your progress and you say, screw this. And you take your game and you put it in the garage. And, yeah. And
I'm stuck on like level 89 or something like that.
So I rage quit my phone number yesterday.
Which I thought was not like, I get this automated robot saying, this is Randy. I've changed my phone number.
So this is the message I sent to friends and family yesterday. This is Randy. I changed my phone number. Fingers crossed that I'll stop getting political spam texts nonstop. Please update my contact in your phone. The new number is, and it gives the new number out.
Yeah, which I thought was some kind of robot.
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, Randy's not a very common name, but I had a couple of people who were like, Randy, like, okay, so that's Randy Davis. And then number two, I had like people call me like literally concerned. They're like, did you really change your phone number? Yeah. You've had that phone number for how long? Like 11 years. Like, uh-huh. and you just changed it? Like, it's just gone. I'm like, it's gone. Like, why? I'm like, because I don't know, five and 8 years ago, I gave money to a couple of different presidential campaigns, and they apparently wrote my number on a bathroom wall in a truck stop in every truck stop across the country, because I get texts for every congressional race, for every whatever. You're like, you won't believe what they're up to now. This has to stop. You know, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, give $100, and I'll match it 4X. 4X, can you believe it? I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to.
Where were you? Where were you living when you gave money?
I was living in the Bay Area.
Okay, so they must have a more active political, because I gave money and I live down here and I don't get nearly. I get a few, but not a lot.
It's well,
not weekly.
I think what happened is I gave small amounts to a few different races. That's one.
Right.
Number two. Or maybe, you know, once I was involved in the early Mitt Romney days, I actually raised a truckload of money for Mitt Romney.
I did too.
But I don't know if I don't think they would know that about me. I don't think they would know.
No,
that.
They know.
Well,
first
I don't
of
know.
All, it's public. Second of all,
it wasn't in my name. I'm saying I hosted a fundraiser where other people gave money. And so.
Yeah, no, that's a whole.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, they know.
I don't know. Could be that. Another thing happened that was funny, but it's true. Actually, I wonder if it's, because I had, my old number was a Bay Area phone number. I wonder if they assumed that I was a rich tech guy.
You, well, okay.
Yeah. The other thing that happened, that I mean, my wife doesn't listen to the pod, so I don't have to worry about this, I guess. But once I was like, hey, I want to give to Mitt Romney, but I don't want to get fired, because it was the Bay Area, right? That's when the social madness started, and I thought,
right.
Maybe. So I actually donated in her name once, and she gets calls, and she's not super stoked about that. And I'm like, look, it was a long time ago. I didn't know. Anyway, so I've changed my phone number. So I immediately started changing it everywhere, because I'm like, okay, my bank needs to know, because they do 2-factor authentication, right?
Oh yeah.
And then and I'm like, my work needs to know, so I changed it at work. And I'm like, church needs to know, I changed it at church. And then I started to go, who else needs to know? And then I'm like, stopped. I'm like, wait, this is a golden opportunity for no one else to know. And so I...
You've gained 4 hours of your day.
I think I've gained 4 hours of my day.
That's awesome.
William was asking me, he's like, why would you be so mad to just not ignore those texts? I'm like, well, first of all, they're ramping up, right?
Yeah. No, it's only getting
worse. It's the political season and they're trying to get me to spend more. But also, like, I think this is what it is. I think that I am distractible. And as it is, my life is full of distractions.
Right.
And I've linked my computer and my phone to my text messages. Yeah. So I get messages in both places. And so if I'm looking at my computer, I'm in the middle of an urgent work problem and I get like, bing, you won't believe what the other congressman's up to now. Like, if you don't donate this, like, he's going to kill all the cats in the world. I'm like, oh, the cats. And then I get, and it's distracting and irritating. And I can't stand it.
Not the cats.
Not the, save the cats.
Donate now and right. You can save 10x cats. Yeah.
So anyway, I am with the new phone number. I've been with the new phone number now for, I think, 15 hours. And, I'll have to go for a few days before I don't get a text message. But I'm seriously, so then I read this when I was looking around to see if there was any solution to blocking this text, which there is not. I read somewhere that someone's like, yeah, dude, you got to treat your phone number like your social security number. And I was like, that's an interesting take because I do not want to be bothered. So anyway,
I don't know that it's possible, though. Is it? I'm like, now that the directories are out there now, it used to be that you didn't get a
I should get a... like a, does that still exist?
A pager?
Does Google Voice still have a thing? If I should go get a cheap phone number and just like use it for all the spam and just be like everybody over there, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
I don't either.
My guess is there's going to be an on phone spam one.
I'll tell you what though, I will not give it to any political ever. And I actually logged into the state records to make sure my phone number wasn't associated with my party registration, and it is not. So.
They can take it off of that, can they?
I don't know. I couldn't find it on there.
Remember.
So anyway, so that's news.
Well, I feel congratulations.
I feel free and easy. I feel like it's like I'm walking around, like in a bath towel, just like
strangely awkward right now. You know, I think about doing this to my email all the time. Because
we created an email once. Rachel has, we have an email called rachelhatespam@gmail.com that we give out to like the Gap.
That's not a bad idea. But you know, there's functions within Gmail that you can do that too. But I don't really like Google products personally. Like,
Gmail will actually let you filter and delete, but this freaking texting won't. So
yeah, but I think it's just around the corner. It just does it as it becomes a feature people want.
They already have a feature on the iPhone called filter by known senders, which I assumed meant so it shuffles things into boxes, right?
Right.
There's all messages. There's known senders. There's unknown senders, and there is unread messages, right? I assumed that feature would mute the notifications for unknown senders and become my default box, but it doesn't. It's just like a folder system now that I have to manually go into, and I still get the push notifications.
Do you
like,
get the ones where
it's not helpful.
Potential scam or scam potential, whatever that?
Yeah,
you get that one?
I get that for phone calls.
Yeah.
So they've actually successfully helped me.
That one doesn't work for me though.
Avoid phone calls.
That one doesn't work because I have a couple of my business lines that get forwarded to it.
Oh, yeah.
And the forward, it thinks it's a spam.
Yeah.
But I have to answer them.
One of the hacks that I had is because I had a separate area code from where I currently live, because I had this old phone number until yesterday, was that whenever I got a phone call from that area code, I knew that it was spam because... I don't live there anymore, and they're trying to get me to answer it. So I'm going to lose that benefit, but I can live with it. So,
well, I think you're going to be free.
Born
I applaud you.
Free as the wind blows.
Remember when Rush Limbaugh used to do that for his environmental updates?
Oh, I remember that. No, that's funny.
That was great. He used to spam. I miss that guy.
Yeah.
He was a political force that was fun to listen to.
I feel like so when he left, there was a giant vacuum in commentary and in ideas. I feel like that vacuum is starting to firm up, not because he's filled it. Weirdly, for me though, because there's people that were stepped forward to fill the Rush Limbaugh vacuum, But weirdly for me, all those people have kind of disqualified themselves. So what's firming up now is I'm like filling over the hole and I'm not putting anything inside. I'm just like, the vacuum is now part of me. And now I'm going to,
I'm exactly the same way. I don't think there's anyone out there that has been able to fill his hole. Not even close. Strangely enough, I actually think he can fill his hole. The way things are, like if you could do shorts and TikToks and, you know, all those little things, if someone went out there and did that, they could make a fortune.
They could just start.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
Because there'd just be rushisms, you know, and drop them. You could drop 1, 2, 3 a week. You could do it forever.
Right.
The guy was on the radio for how long?
A long, long time.
30 years, something like that? I mean, yeah. It's not like the things he talked about really changed.
It's surprising. Well, when you talk about ideas and not events, the ideas can last for a long, long time.
Well, and the crazy part is that the guy, he would talk about, I mean, like, I see stuff about, I see Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, all over the internet, but I don't see.
Well, they own that, I mean, like his estate owns that stuff, and his estate is run by his widow.
Yeah, his widow.
And his colleagues that worked with him for 30 years. And I don't think if you're them that you're going to want to, because they're sad because he's gone, right? Because he's their friend.
Right.
And so I don't think you want to spend time with ghosts all the time. And they already have plenty of money. So I think they're just letting it ride, you know?
Yeah. Still something
I'd like
to see.
Which makes sense.
I would like to see it, but oh well.
So I can confirm that I read a book. It happened.
Good. Oh, good.
It happened. And
what book was it?
It was super good. So I wanted to, I'm going to recommend it to everyone. It's called Anxious People. I'm looking up the author's name.
Is it like a self-help book or is it like a...
It's not. It's just a good book. So, guys, so as you may have heard, and by the way, red is air quotes. As you may have heard or may not have heard, if you pay for Spotify and you have the Spotify premium account, they've made audiobooks available on Spotify now.
Oh,
and when I hear that kind of thing, I just assume that it's going to be like garbage audiobooks. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's premium content that costs $20 a pop. Like they can't just give it out. But dude, they got real books in here. Like every time I'm like, hey, I wonder if they have that book. I search and it's there.
You're
so,
kidding?
No. So I was doing one of my corporate help books, and then the other day, so I have a few podcasts I like, and they're good podcasts, and I like them. But, you know, after 2 or 3 hours on a Saturday, I don't want to keep listening to sports
books
talk
are nice.
Or whatever, right?
Yeah, I like books.
So so I went into the books, and I'm like, they recommended Anxious People by Frederick Backman. And it's a Swedish book, but it's in English. I mean, I didn't actually read it. I listened to the audiobook unedited. And so when it started, like, okay, so the first, I don't know, 25% of the book, I was like, this is going to be a sad book, isn't it? This is going to be sad, isn't it? And then it ended up so not sad. It was outstanding.
Wait,
it was
so what
positive.
Genre does it belong in?
I think it's literature, but it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's a novel, so it's fiction.
Okay,
right?
Gotcha.
It's a novel, it's fiction. And it started off feeling very much like literature. When I say literature, I mean it's like character study stuff where things happen, but they aren't like, you know, spy novels where things are blown up, right?
Right.
But by the time like I was in the middle, I realized that while it is heavy, it was also funny and it was also like great characters. And I realized this is kind of like a Coen Brothers novel. Do you know the Coen Brothers?
Yeah.
You know, like, Oh Brother, We're Out There, Raising Arizona, because it had funny characters in that way, and it had heavy topics, but then ridiculous things were happening. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh.
So it was like, I'd say it's a dramedy.
Gotcha.
I would say it's a dramedy. And it just ended up being super positive. So I recommend it. If you guys are in for a dramedy that'll make you feel good about people and humanity, I recommend Anxious People by Frederick, what's his face? Backman.
Frederick Backman.
One of the ongoing bits that they have, because it's about like it's people in a small town where this weird thing happens in a small town. One of the ongoing bits they have is they like whenever something is crazy happening, they're like, well, I mean, that's a Stockholmer thing. So, like, they refer to big city people as Stockholmers because this is set in Sweden.
Right.
And they use that as a catch-all excuse for any bad thing that happens. They're like, well, Stockholmers, you know? And it becomes progressively funnier throughout the book. At first, you're like, oh, it's a little weird. And then in the middle, like, there's one time where I, like, literally was just howling with laughter at this conversation this lady had about, you know, I mean... No, not all Stockholmers are Stockholmers. Like, they have this whole who's on first conversation about Stockholmers. It's really funny. So,
where does Stockholm Syndrome come from? I'm like, it's kind of weird that it's been named after a city.
I don't know.
Is it? I mean, it is spelled the same, right?
No. It's named, I mean, that is, it's referencing the city. I don't know what the syndrome refers to. So.
Weird. Well, I mean, I know we know what it refers to, right? So basically, it's a victim. It's a victimology.
Yeah,
it's
where you sympathize with your captors.
All of a sudden, your captors are your saviors.
Yeah, it's great. I recommend it. It's a lot of fun.
Why poor Stockholm? Like, to go there, like, it's so bad, but after a while, you just like it. Is that what it's? I don't know, man. That. Like, everybody thinks Stockholm's awesome.
I don't know. So that was the thing that happened. I read a book, dude, and it was good.
Did you say you read a book, air quotes, means you listen to
a book? I listened to a book, yeah.
I listen to lots of books. Currently, this was a weird one. I've never seen this before. I love spy novels or, you know, that kind of stuff. And I really love the Jack Reacher series from Lee Child. But
yeah,
I started reading this other one. It's like, you may like. And so I started listening to it. I'm like, oh, it's interesting. So this is basically a story. And they don't use Jack Reacher's name. But it's a story. If you know the Jack Reacher story, he's a decorated army vet who was an MP in the army for a long time, and then in downsizing and other circumstances, he leaves the army honorably, and then he becomes a nomad because he grew up in the military with his dad being in the military, never lived anywhere for very long, so yeah. He decided he's never been, like, most of the places were overseas. So he's like,
And it's a male power fantasy in that the idea of just traveling here and there and doing justice.
No car.
No dog.
Just
no
carries
girlfriend,
a toothbrush.
Carries a toothbrush.
Right. Right. He has like three items
That's like a male nomad fantasy.
Right. And he doesn't clean his clothes because he doesn't.
Wait,
he,
but you were getting somewhere. So you're reading a book that's basically a Jack Reacher book, but it's not.
It's literally a Jack Reacher book, but they don't talk about Jack Reacher.
Right.
But this guy is Navy. He's doing exactly the same thing. And in the beginning of the first novel,
yeah,
they make it sound like this is Jack Reacher's son. Because in one of the books, he has a relationship with a girl in this little Mississippi town. So they're basically saying that this lady, that he had a relationship in the Mississippi town while he was saving the town, had a child and never told Jack. And so she dies in the first book and tells her son's like, I lied to you. Your dad is an army war hero, but he is alive.
Okay.
And so you actually kind of think, well, he's going to go find his dad. And this new author may have like cooperation with Lee Child and his brother.
Yeah.
Like, no, not at all. This is just a guy doing exactly the same thing. And his name is Jack Widow instead of Jack Reacher. And he goes by his last name, just like Reacher does. Everybody calls Reacher Reacher, not Jack. And this guy gets called Widow. But he was in the Navy, and he was a Navy SEAL.
Well, there you go.
This is weird. Isn't that kind of weird? And then I started looking up stuff. I'm like, hey, why? Did they really collaborate? And they didn't at all. I kind of feel like...
There's something about that. I can't remember how this works. There's something about copyright law... That I can't remember. I can't remember the thing. I think once copyright expires, you can write anything you want. So I can go write a Hobbit book if I want, because the copyright has expired, right?
Yeah.
So I've always been confused.
But copyrights work that way for books. I know it works that way for like drugs and stuff.
Yeah, there's a reason why you read of Mice of Men in high school, because of Mice and Men is beyond the copyright law, and so you can now go get them for $3, and that's why, and they keep extending the copyright law for Mickey Mouse. Literally, it's like, because Disney was looking down the barrel of Mickey Mouse's copyright expiring, and they needed that character, and so they kept getting Congress to extend how long copyrights could exist and be enforced. And they've extended it dramatically, like 2 or 3X, something like that. So it's like 90 years now, right? But what's crazy about what Disney did is counterintuitively, it will eventually hurt Disney, and it's for sure hurt authors, because there's been authors in the last 70 years, believe it or not. But none of their books get put into curriculum because the copyright never expires, so they never get the cheap paperback versions from Scholastic houses, and so everyone just keeps reading Steinbeck.
I didn't know that.
It's a counterintuitive example of why you don't do that. Anyway, the other thing that Disney did smartly is that they started doing different artistic representations of Mickey Mouse, because every new version of it can also be copyrighted.
So
just barely, they didn't extend the copyright for the first time. And so just barely, like Steamboat Willie Mickey Mouse is now not copyrighted. And it just came out of copyright a couple months ago. And now there's people immediately making short films, and someone's making a super violent video game with little Mickey Mouse. With that old Mickey.
Yeah, somebody else is going to do something sick with it.
Yeah, yeah. So the point of my story is, I remember hearing, though, that like those universes aren't, like, basically you can copyright your words, but you can't copyright ideas. I know that's true in video games, for example.
Right.
You can't copyright a game mechanic. A game mechanic being, like, when I move this thing happens. You can't copyright that. You can copyright a specific implementation.
Right.
So, like, you can't copyright our video game, but our game boards, our actual arrangement of our game boards, if someone copies it, like, dot for dot, then we can be like, hey, you're violating copyright. But if someone's like, no, I want to do a match three game where a guy runs on. In fact, there's actually a copycat of our game already out there.
You're kidding.
And one of our friends accidentally downloaded it and was playing it, thinking it was my game. So.
Oh, I think. Well, that's weird. It is a tricky line, though. If you think about it, like, yeah, somebody should be able to, you know, it's the famous one. I think we talked about Happy Birthday a long time ago.
Yeah.
And Warner Brothers.
It's a tricky line. You want people to get credit for their work. You want them to get paid for their work. But I don't like the idea. So, because companies could theoretically, especially now in the age of AI, Disney could go commission an AI to do like a million pieces of work and copyright all of them and just be like, we own all the stories in the universe. Like, that's not good. You can't do that. You know what I mean?
Can you copyright AI work?
Well, that's part of the reason why AI is controversial, because it's not adjudicated. It's, in other words, like, people are like, I don't know, I'll sue you and we'll find out, is basically what people are saying.
I talked to the attorney general.
Who owns a, if I prompt an AI to write a story, the AI writes a story, who owns the copyright? Is it owned by the AI maker? Is it owned by me?
Or the content creator, or the content acceptance of copyrighted material. We already talked about that one. But that's something they're starting to litigate.
Yeah.
So interesting litigation problems like that. I was talking to, that reminds me, I had a conversation with the Attorney General of Utah, and we were just talking about different things. And what he loves to push is like new technology that helped the police departments, et cetera, and so forth. And they had a new DNA test that was very rapid. So one of the problems with DNA is it takes a long time.
It takes 2 weeks when people start. That's what I love in the shows, when they're like, the guy's at the crime scene on his phone. He's like, yeah, DNA checks out. It's his dad. And I'm like, no, man, that's 2 weeks if they're not busy. And if they're busy, it's weeks.
Right, and most of them are very busy, right?
Yes, because everyone wants DNA.
They have DNA from 30-year-old, you know, crimes that they're trying to use to, you know, to solve, et cetera, and so forth. Anyway, okay. He comes up. He was working with big tech. He was he's a very brilliant attorney. Was in his specialty was tech, and so he had a lot of tech contacts in the Bay Area, and they are working with him to get new technologies to use for police departments to solve crimes, like instant DNA, stuff like that. Problem: it hasn't been litigated. You actually have to take it to court, and you want somebody
to prove that it holds up to legal muster.
Correct. So you need a defense attorney to say, hey, we want that DNA test thrown out because it's not the standard. And then they get to argue the new standard.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons...
That's why lawyers can't be in charge of anything.
It's not a bad thing in the legal department.
I stand by what I was going to say, but you go ahead first.
I just don't think it's bad in the legal, especially in the criminal justice system. What he was excited about was the idea that he gets to litigate these things. He loved it. He wanted that stuff to be tested so that it can start to become mainstream. And then all of a sudden, all of these new technologies and new sources. I mean, remember Gattaca, the movie Gattaca?
Yeah, I love Gattaca.
Where the guy's like basically sandpapers his body every day so that his DNA doesn't fall off and somebody picks it up. And, you know, that kind of
revealed to be a fraud.
Right. But that kind of cool tech could really help with solving crimes and mysteries and et cetera and so forth. But you can't use it because it's not litigated and it takes time to litigate. And he's the guy. He loves it. He loves doing that.
That's fantastic.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. No, it is cool. The reason that I was saying you can't trust lawyers to run anything, I actually believe this. And to our lawyer friends that are listening, because I'm gonna rant a little bit. Everybody thinks that they're the juice, and that for sure goes for video game producers. So I guess I fall in the same category, because I promise that the artists and engineers that make our video games don't think that I'm the magic behind the video game. So everyone thinks that their piece matters. I actually think that a lawyer's piece matters, but if you bring a lawyer's mentality into making stuff, it does not work. Because the lawyer's mentality is, how could this fail? How could this hurt us? I will protect against that, which is super valuable as long as that person's not driving the bus. If that person's driving the bus, then you get paralysis.
Correct.
Like crazy paralysis.
Yes.
Like that person needs to be a trusted advisor, maybe sitting next to the bus driver, maybe sitting behind him, maybe sitting four rows
right.
back, but cannot be driving the bus.
Right.
Like now, occasionally you find somebody that has like entrepreneur chops.
Like an attorney?
Who is a trained attorney.
That's really rare.
But it's super rare because the mentality is always a defensive and combative posture.
Correct.
And entrepreneurship, or at least building, at a minimum, I don't know about all entrepreneurship, but building things is not about that. It's about, I see a target in the distance. I'm going to run past everything I possibly can
right.
to touch it.
Right.
And a lawyer's mentality is, I want to touch
There's
everything
risk.
You run by.
Yeah.
And argue with them.
Yeah.
And I know this because, like, yeah.
It's risk. It's their job is to mitigate risk.
And it's
and
really
the
valuable.
Risk taker
yeah.
needs to be able to balance that and say it's worth the risk.
That's right.
Because we do this all the time. There's no such thing as an airtight contract in real estate.
Yeah.
And so you'll have two really good attorneys who will go back and forth. And then they're stuck on 3-4 items where until they get direction from the client, they can't move forward.
Yeah. Basically, a business person has to understand and accept the risk at some
Correct.
Point.
At some point, you got to be like,
because
okay.
the lawyer won't do it.
Right.
Why? Because they're trained to not do it.
Right.
They're trained to be like, I can see that that's a risk. I can't see any way around it. So I'm going to stop here and look at this river until someone says jump across.
And like, they're adversarial and by nature.
And sometimes, depending on how good your lawyer is, they will or won't do this. But sometimes they'll be like, look, I got to warn you. This is a risk. Blah, blah, blah. You know what
right.
I mean?
But that's their job.
It is their job. But someone said to me once, so I was grousing about the tech safety. It was actually, there's a member of the church that used to live in your congregation who I was having lunch with, and he worked with another colleague that was in my apartment at Disney, and I groused about this guy, and he's like, what's wrong with that guy? I'm like, Mike, he makes it impossible for us to make things in a really infuriating way. He's like, well, don't you want things to be safe? Like he was like legitimately surprised and confused because he saw himself
right.
as like the facilitator partner, right?
Right.
You know, cybersecurity, I'm doing good. I'm
right.
out there doing good, right? And I'm like, he's like, well, wait, why wouldn't you want that? Like you're making a product for kids. Don't you want it to be safe and secure? And I thought about how do I could explain it to him? And this is what I said. I'm like, when you go to a mall, is there a security guard? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, right. Because you want a security guard, right? Right. You don't want people to terrorize them all, right? Right. Okay. Now, do you want the security guard to be in charge of running the mall? He's like, what would
That's
that...
That's a really
what would
good...
That, what would that be like?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm like... Like everything would be foam padded. Like the mall would open late and close early. Why? Because the hooligans come out after dark. Like you can't think that way. You have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So similarly, I've had great relationships with great lawyers, but the idea that a lawyer is going to advance a new technology is like that.
You're absolutely right.
It's not what they're wired for.
Well, in our business, whenever the lawyers get involved, it just slows everything down, number one. Number two.
Number one, yeah.
And
they get paid by the hour, bro. Yeah.
I was listening to a radio personality that went to Harvard Law, went to a big law firm, and then as he was doing it, he as a associate at the law firm, he's like, I'll never make partner. And they were telling him, you'll never make partner. He was so fast at writing, so fast at analyzing, and so fast at putting his stuff together that they wanted
him to... couldn't get any billable hours.
Correct. Correct.
That's really funny.
And it's just the way that system works. Yeah, I don't begrudge it.
The thing is, when I said that they get paid by the hour, it makes it sound like I think they're crooks. I don't think they're crooks. Like, good lawyers will give you a competent amount of work for the right amount of time and charge you the right amount of money.
Right.
I have seen lawyers that are just, they can't focus on the point in the horizon at all. And they just start wandering around and touching everything. And you have to just jump in and be like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? No, don't do that. Focus on this paragraph.
Talk to them about the, friends.
You know what I mean? And those are the lawyers if you can't trust them to self-manage a little bit, that's a problem.
Because you do have to, so I have a couple lawyers that are friends that are chatterboxes.
Yeah.
And they don't charge by the hour.
Okay.
They charge by the content. Does that make sense? Like, if you call and discuss a contract, he that's part of the process, right?
Yeah.
Because he knows he's going to chat a little bit more than the other guy. So the contract review depends on how long it is, right? Or how complicated it is. It doesn't have not how many hours. It's how many hours should it take, not how many hours does he take. Does that make sense? It's not, and he does it to the benefit of the client.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I don't know what to say about that.
So I got a question. Have you been following this royal controversy with the princess?
So a little bit.
I have not.
A little bit. So
I have not.
I'm on X a lot. And on X, there's a lot of chatter about it.
Yeah. There's chatter everywhere about it. And I was like literally ignoring it.
And I wanted to ignore it because I don't like to follow every hype cycle.
Yeah.
But this one had a couple of really interesting markers.
But it started getting... Okay, so it got really weird. I didn't start following it until that Photoshopped picture came out and wherever. Like, this is a Photoshop.
That's what everyone started following.
And all I can think of is, why do they care that it's Photoshopped? I mean, and the things are like, look, her hand is here. It should be there. You know, and I'm like... Why does anyone care about this? And so I started looking up. I think my prompt was, "What's the big deal about the Photoshop and the princess?" You know.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a Disney movie, Photoshop and the Princess.
Yeah, exactly.
So I look it up, and it was all comedians. It was all comedians.
Okay. So let's do a quick summary. So for those of you who didn't know, Princess Kate in had a major abdominal surgery and said so. Like, hey, I had a big surgery. I'm going to disappear for a while I heal. And everyone's like, that's fine. But then she was gone for a while and then she just wasn't seen. Like, I think everyone assumed that she wouldn't be at ribbon cuttings and at greeting kids at school, but then she would still,
she's been very out there,
checking the mail or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Evidently,
but she hadn't been seen at all.
Right.
So then people are like, hey, where's Kate? What's going on with Kate? We want an update. And then, so that's fine. That's the public has an insatiable desire to see the cute royalty be cute. You know what I mean? That's fine.
Especially in Europe.
But here's where it got weird. What got weird is when people started asking questions, then the freaking press people at the Kensington Palace started doing really, really weird stuff. Like, they're like, don't worry about it. They're like, what do you mean don't worry about it? Is she okay? Yeah. Can we just see a picture of her? They're like, no. And so they're like, okay. And then, okay. So then they finally like, fine, here's a picture of her. They release a picture of her.
It was Photoshop.
So then this picture is of her with her kids.
Right.
Not with her husband. Not wearing a wedding ring.
Yep.
And
It was Photoshopped.
And then people, because they're crazy, went and found, like, this face appears to be a face from a magazine that she was on a couple years ago. And oh, by the way, if you zoom in, you can see that there's blurry on her shoulder that suggests that it was Photoshopped. Okay? So that's weird.
It was.
But it's easy to figure out. Release another photo. Like, here's me with my husband.
Right.
Not Photoshopped. There you go. Easy, right? What do? They let it twist in the wind for like 3 days in the news. 3 days of people like, what's going on? Can't really. And the conspiracy theorists are like, she's not wearing a wedding ring because he's a cheater.
Yeah.
And she found out and she's not going to go public anymore. Like, crazy conspiracy theories come out, right?
She's
leaving.
So then
3 days later, what do? They release a tweet from Kate. This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. The tweet is, hey, as you guys know, I take my own pictures and sometimes I dabble in Photoshop. I'm sorry I messed up that photo.
Right. Right.
What? Like, so now they're like, is she a hostage? What's going on? They're like, they're making her.
It was getting so crazy. Okay. They literally said that.
So then it's been a week since that. So in the interim, every conspiracy theory under the sun, I've heard that. So there's some lady that they're saying her husband's been cheating with. They're saying that he wants to run away with that lady now and that he has a kid with that lady. That lady's getting divorced from her husband presently.
Right.
Like, maybe Charles is sicker than we know. He's going to die. This guy's going to be king and he wants to be king with his girlfriend.
Right.
With his side piece. Like,
like his
everything
dad did.
Under
like
the
his
sun.
Dad did.
And then there's some, and then there's all these funny Twitter jokes. There's like, there's Kate ran off with Pete Davidson. So yeah. No, Pete Davidson's this SNL comic who somehow bags all the cutest ladies in the world.
It's so weird.
Okay. So then this is where it gets completely insane. What day is today? Saturday. So on Thursday, another tweet came out from Kensington that said she's working on a special project. And they released it with a picture of her sitting at a computer, perfectly dressed, sitting at a computer like one of those fake computer people in North Korea. Like, it is the weirdest picture I've ever seen. And I'm like, she's working on a special project? What? And then yesterday, they released a video, one day later, saying, hey guys, here's the deal. I didn't think I had cancer when I had my surgery, but it turns out it was cancerous, and I'm going through chemotherapy.
Right.
And that's, I'm laying low. I appreciate it. All the curiosity and the supportive comments, which there have been none. There have only been bananas comments. Right? And now everyone feels bad, right?
There's everybody does. They're like, oh, we feel terrible. No, she
everyone
has cancer.
Like, I'm going straight to hell for my conspiracy theories.
But no, the conspiracy theories are already starting, though. What kind of cancer is it? How did she get it? All this other stuff. Like,
so, yeah, and the next round of conspiracy is starting, but I'm not here for it. Because I try not to get involved in hype cycles, but when she did the weird, like, capture text, taking credit for the bad Photoshop, it was so weird. Okay, but so here is a tweet I read yesterday that was really a great summary of what has happened recently in the Royals. So PR strategy number one, King Charles got cancer. It is what it is. Don't expect more details or further updates. Because that happened.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Right.
PR strategy number two, Kate's having mystery surgery. You won't see her until April. Here's a pic with her kids. It's doctored. She doctored it herself. She's working on a special project. Yeah, that's really true. Like, what was that? Anyway, so
that's pretty funny stuff. I actually wasn't following it till the very end, and then I'm like, what in the heck is this?
Well, because they also said there's going to be an announcement in a couple days. I'm like, an announcement in a couple days? What is this? Anyway, and then it's like, oh, hey, I got cancer. That's your special project, not dying of cancer. So
she does seem like a sweet person, though.
Yeah, she does. We'll see. Well, who knows if she is, but she does seem that way, and that's good enough for me because I don't care. Because we fought two wars to not have to care about them.
Yeah.
So
what's up with all these balloons? Do you find that? Just find another one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So these weird spy balloons coming from China.
Oh,
why are they using balloons?
Yeah, that's funny.
Is it because we're like, oh, they can't be? This is, oh, it's a balloon. Oh, it's because polar bear. You know, it's like when they humanize things,
at a height that are hard to get to.
But they humanize these things, and it's like, oh, how cute. You know, it's like, is it like, oh, it's a cute balloon? Look.
I don't know.
I mean, they have
spy balloons.
These are spy balloons. Like, they're completely like have giant solar arrays, and they're going. It looks like a satellite flying in like actual atmosphere.
In low orbit, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
But what in the heck, dude? How does this keep happening?
I don't know. Whenever I hear that stuff, I just assume that it means that we're so far ahead on spying on them that I feel sorry for them. But that spy balloon, that the first one that we shot down straight worked. I mean, like, yeah, basically
it
they had...
They made it all the way across the United States.
No, they had... Because they had... And they have basically a bunch of... What's the word I'm looking for? They have a bunch of cell phones scanning technology that basically they can go like geolocate everybody in America now because they scanned all of our cell towers. Do you know what I'm saying?
Gee whiz.
So that's kind of spooky, but...
Yeah, they found another one.
But that's I had the benefit of not being interesting or important, so they can scan me and know exactly where
I don't, you know...
Now they'll be like, who's this guy? He's got two phone numbers.
They scanned prior. You're good.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, yeah. No. Now they're going to be like, I don't know who that guy is, but he gave money like 8 years ago to a presidential candidate.
So we knew who he was then, and then we don't know who he is. He's disappeared. You're off the grid.
So we covered anxious people, mission call, phone number. We covered the princess. Now we need to cover the cool Utah State basketball story. So do you follow the NCAA?
No. No, I don't. And
okay, March Madness is afoot. Okay, we're two days in.
Whatever that means.
Whatever
I know
means.
What that means. I'm sorry.
How can you be sad about March Madness? It's objectively cool.
I don't like basketball.
It's objectively cool.
I think I liked basketball when I was in
high school. A single elimination tournament of the 64 best universities in America that takes place over 2 weeks is freaking great. That's just great television.
I'm not saying it's
all these
not,
young guys getting their one shot to be famous. All right. So I've got a quick story then.
Yes.
A couple years ago, Utah State hired a new basketball coach. And that new basketball coach experienced some quick success. He got poached away from Utah State to coach for the University of Utah. He left last year, and if I recall, he also took some of the important players with him from Utah State to the University of Utah. And Utah State is feeling bad because they just got this guy that was barely pretty good, and now he's gone.
Right.
So they hired a new guy. And the new guy came in, and I can't remember the whole story, but like he didn't even have enough players because he got hired right before the season, so he went and got a bunch of transfer players to join the Utah State, okay, and they started to wreck everybody.
Really?
And they won. I think they're still in the WAC. I can't remember what division they're in, but they won their conference and they went to the tournament. And then yesterday, they went to the tournament. Now, established programs, they've had coaches for a long time that are doing well. Got in the pro, get in, 64 is a good number, and you can get beat. So, like, BYU had a good year, had a great year, beat some important teams,
right.
Got bounced in the first round unceremoniously.
Oh,
right?
Did they?
Yeah, first game, done. They haven't gotten past the first round in some 20-odd years, right? So Utah State gets in there. They haven't won in the tournament in 23 years, and this coach has never won in the tournament. And they demolished the team yesterday. They won by 16 points.
Is that TCU?
Yeah, they won by 16 points. So now they're going to go up against Purdue. But anyway, after the game, so anyway, this coach. His last name is Sprinkle. So Coach Sprinkle is the feel good story of the day, because these people that no one, because yesterday they interviewed him. After the game, they're like, hey, so how do you handle the pressure of getting ready for this tournament? And always, he's like, oh, it's easy. Nobody cares. They're like, what do you mean nobody cares? It's like, nobody cares that we're from nowhere. No one cares if we're good. Everyone expects us to be bad. And since nobody cares, we're just going to focus on taking care of each other, passing the ball, and playing good basketball. Nobody cares.
I love it.
And he's like, okay, so you're going to be ready for two on Sunday? He's like, nah.
Sure. See you then.
Yep, see you then. And now he's like, now he's trending on Twitter, and everyone's like, we got to poach this coach away. And these kids that, I mean, like, dude, they're playing good basketball. I was watching. The other team didn't look particularly competent. They just were getting beat.
Like, wow.
So anyway, so they were playing Purdue on Sunday, and we'll see if they can keep the rally going. If they win on Sunday, that means they're going to the Sweet 16. If they go to Sweet 16 with a coach that had no recruiting time for his players,
and nobody knows.
Utah, University of Utah didn't even make the tournament. it's fun.
The University of Utah not making the tournament is just happy for me anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so that's
coach
fun.
Coach Sprinkle.
Sprinkle.
Coach Sprinkle. It sounds like, you know,
yeah,
like very friendly.
It does.
Danny. Oh, his first name's Danny.
Danny Sprinkle.
Danny Sprinkle. I like it.
Ted Lasso. Anyway.
He's like, yeah, he's Ted Lasso.
All right. And then the last thing that happened, this just happened yesterday. This is super sad. And I'm only bringing this up to be a little bit conspiratorial in nature.
Oh, okay. Let's do it.
Russia, who started a war against the Ukraine because it's tactically important port, and because they want to have Ukraine, and they're just expansionist, and because of some really ham-fisted and terrible leadership by America in expanding NATO when he said that was a red line, and we did it anyway. So he's in his war with Ukraine. Ukraine's starting to do all these targeted incursions inside of Russia, like blowing up like train stations and like power plants and stuff like that.
Russia's doing that to
Ukraine is doing that inside Russia. Of Russia. Like they're doing
doing
drone attacks against like power plants and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Honestly, I like that approach from Ukraine. I like the idea of slowing down Russia if I'm Ukraine, to the exclusion of claiming a bunch of civilian lives. But like the idea of blowing up power plants and train depots, switch stations, makes sense to me because those guys are, you know, financing a war against Ukraine.
You said something. Maybe I'll come back to it. Civilian lives is an interesting problem.
Well, yesterday there was a massive terror attack on Russia. The people in a concert hall were stormed by gunmen, and then they set it on fire, and 150 people are reported dead.
But it wasn't Ukraine.
Well, it was reported. So this is where conspiratorial Randy is right here. It's like it was reported that it was ISIS. ISIS, we haven't seen ISIS in forever.
Right.
And they were kind of defeated in Iraq. And of course, there's still a group of somebody calling themselves ISIS out there. It's reported there was ISIS and they captured one of the shooters, right?
Right. So you don't think it is?
So this is where I want to ask a question. One of two things is happening. One, the world is a crazy place and things don't happen in narrative sequential flows.
Right.
Or number two, the world is a conspiratorial place and somebody did something. It just seems so weird to me that you would get sideways attacked by.
Yeah, they're not
because actually Russia has been quiet on the issue of Gaza. Like I think they've been tacitly in favor of the anti-Israeli Gaza stuff. And so for them to get attacked by Muslim extremists right now just seems really weird, man. Like I can't decide which is true. The world is chaos and people will sow chaos whenever, or if there's really actually some other group, like somebody went off script and started shooting civilians, and they're from the Ukraine and they're linked to the US, and the US is frantically tamping it down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't. That whole conflict is really difficult for me. It's a really hard one for me. I don't have a grasp on. I think I'm reflexively anti-Putin.
Sure. Yes. Agreed. Putin is not a good dude. Or at least by American standards, Putin is not a good dude because by American standards, he kills people that speak out against him.
He's a dictator.
That's a dictator.
Right.
So by American standards, he's not a good dude. Yeah. Now, by historical kings of country standards, I don't know how he compares. Because his country is relatively free and prosperous. And so, like, is that a good dude? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I can see why, like, okay, we're not in favor of him because he basically took over Russia and is not letting go.
And he kills people that speak out against him. That's not a good dude by our standards.
He's a tyrant and a dictator. Okay, fine. And an oligarch to boot. Probably the richest man.
Yes, but people can come and go from his country.
Right.
Like, it's not like North Korea, right?
Correct.
People are fed. They have money. They can come and go from his country. They can come and go from his country.
That being said, like, okay, I don't like the idea that he's expanding.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't like the idea that, you know, appeasement led to World War II. Don't do it.
Yeah, so all that stuff scares me. But. There's a giant but here. And you know, I know you have friends that you work with and colleagues in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Ukraine's not a good place.
Well,
what I mean by
I don't know what you mean.
I don't mean that there's not good people there. I mean that it has been a terribly corrupt,
historically corrupt place that had a recent government change that was the result of an overthrow that we may have fomented. we, America, may have assisted in.
And if that's the case, what's this all about? Like, I'm, as I get older, this stuff is just, it gets more
I want to say it more succinctly, because I listened to this super long interview with Tucker Carlson from Lex Fridman. And he said it like this.
Wait, who's Lex Fridman? I missed that one.
He's a major tech leader and a long form podcaster, and it was a really good podcast. You should listen to it. It's probably going to super influence the way you see Ukraine. But this is what Tucker Carlson said. That's interesting. That's just true. As America, because we know that Putin is a bad guy, we then assume that Ukraine is a good guy. And he's like,
yeah,
that's a false assumption.
Correct.
It could be a bad guy against a bad guy.
Correct.
It could be. We do not know if the leader of Ukraine is a good guy.
Correct.
And it's probably not.
Correct.
So Tucker goes further to say, look, all these guys are billionaires. And he's like, and I'm not saying that you're bad because you're a billionaire, but I'm saying that I know what kind of decisions these people make on a day-to-day basis to grow and preserve their wealth and power. And there are different shades of good guy and bad guy in every one of them. And we don't have any evidence that the Ukraine guy is a good guy.
Or that Ukraine is necessarily in our national interests.
Well, if it wasn't for the expansionist question, it wouldn't be. Like, if we didn't care that they might then roll into Poland, then we shouldn't be there.
Why is it? I guess I don't understand why. There's two wars going on right now that I don't understand why aren't over, right? Russia, I can't get a sense. My overall sense of the Russia war is, wow, Russia's a paper tiger.
That's what we all thought. And to a certain degree, it's true.
I mean, they haven't won. I mean, Ukraine, who's basically not a big military thing.
Yeah, that was the early analysis.
And that hasn't changed for me, because if Russia if Russia can't take Ukraine, right? They're not going to take Poland. Poland's way more advanced, right? So I'm like, okay, why are they continuing the war? What's the purpose? Part of me, the conspiratorial part of me, is like, are they just getting rid of their old weapons? Like, let's just blow it up. Let's just use it somewhere so that they can fund something new. I don't know what the purpose is. Why does Russia care at this point? Is it just face? Because I'm pretty sure that they'll give, if Russia's like,
well,
hey.
Well, the other thing that came out of the interview that I listened to is Russia has way more people than Ukraine and way more money than Ukraine, and they're going to win eventually.
So I heard that before, and I've heard that analysis before, that eventually they will win.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's I don't know that that's I don't know if that's accurate. I just don't know if that's accurate. I know they have way more money, but do they have way more access to money? At this point, Ukraine has a blank check from the West. It's just blank check. And if you're combining the West against Russia, Russia loses. They just don't have an economy that's big enough for that. So I don't like that analysis. I also don't necessarily like the analysis. I just don't get the motivation. I just don't see the motivation anymore. I think that this could end tomorrow with the right leadership in Washington. I think I'll just put it out there. If Trump is elected,
yeah, and it's going to end with a negotiated settlement.
Yeah.
You take this land, we'll take this land. We won't take them into NATO.
Yes. If Trump is elected, I predict that the war is over between November and January before Trump takes office.
I agree with you.
And it's over.
And the only question is that...
It's going to be Iran-Contra. Just like Jimmy Carter had that, and then like literally after Reagan was elected, before he took office, that was over.
Look, I agree with you, because that's what Trump's going to want. And the question remains, is that in our national interest? And the answer is, I don't know. But we're skipping over the other thing.
I don't understand the Gaza
really, did ISIS really attack a concert hall in Russia yesterday and kill 150 people?
I don't know.
It's pretty weird.
I don't know. I'm like, well, I said ISIS. What the heck does ISIS care about Russia? That's the first thing I thought about. That dog doesn't hunt if it is, but ISIS is the one that's claiming for it.
No, ISIS claimed it, and they captured a guy. And so the news is reporting it, that it's ISIS.
Why is ISIS against Russia? What do they care?
Well, that sounds like a U.S. State Department brokered press release. It sounds like we cannot let word out that these people that we funded did this thing that we did not approve of. Because to be clear, I'm not suggesting that the United States sent and or allowed terrorists to go attack Russia because we asked them to. I'm not saying that at all. But there are a couple things that could be at play. One, we used to share intelligence with Russia about Islamic terrorists, okay? So it could be in play that we didn't share intelligence. That's possible. And if we didn't share intelligence and 150 Russians died, that's a huge escalation. That's a problem. Do you know what I'm saying? Because number two, it could be that some group that we hired to sow chaos somewhere else in the world took the money and went and blew up Russia. Like, I don't know, but I know this. There was a tweet yesterday that I read, which was from somebody near the White House. It was like, I've never seen so many people associated with the Situation Room running to the Situation Room before. I saw that tweet before I read about the attack in Russia. Okay, so I know this. America is like, holy crap, right? So that happened. So does that, the third thing it could be is maybe the Islamist movements have had the time they need to regather their strength and they're going to attack America today. That's also the third thing it could be. Could be we had nothing to do with this and that it really is ISIS and ISIS is coming for everybody. I don't know, but it just seems like a really weird time to pick a fight with Russia if I'm from the Middle East.
I mean, they pick a fight with us because we're weak.
No. There's a reason they hit Russia.
What?
That southern. Remember that school shooting they had. Like, there's a division in Russia that's an Islamist state, and they have fought against, and Russia quashed them. Like they had this rebellion in southern Russia, in an Islamist part of town, and Russia just went in there.
So that's the reason they hate Russia.
Yeah. So they do have a beef. But that wasn't ISIS, but it was an Islamist, uprising that they squashed.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I also don't believe anything that's true, that comes out in the media in the first 48 hours. Maybe 72 now. Because it just doesn't, it's not accurate. Remember all the stuff that used to come out about Trump? And it was like, oh, this is what happened. And then, Trump would say, that's not what happened. And then, 48 hours, 72 hours later, turns out, the media was wrong. But that happens in everything, any crisis, right? I remember, do you remember way back when, what was it, Katrina? I remember that for some reason, this is super vivid to me. And then they put everybody in the Saints football stadium. And then there was all of these media reports talking about all these terrible things that were happening inside the football stadium. Because of all these refugees and stuff like that in there. It turns out none of it was true. But that happens. It just happens, right? You don't know what's going on. There's a vacuum. You may to be the competition to be first forces you to take a risk. The risk is running with information maybe it's not totally vetted. So that first 72 hours, it's pretty nebulous to know what's going on. So.
Well, I agree. And that's why the other thing is, so they seized, it was Chechnya.
Chechnya.
That's a highly Islamic situation. And they went and seized the Beslan school and blew up all those kids. You remember that? Those are the Chechen rebels. I didn't know
they were Muslim, though.
I think it's right. Let me go.
I'm not saying they're not. The Chechen rebels just seem to be like a separate information piece that you'd think I'd know more.
Chechnya is the Muslim region with the strongest degree of homogeneity, with 93% of its population ethnic Chechen. 5% of Chechnya's population is non-Muslim, and a very small minority are Muslim, Ingush, or Nogais. So, yeah.
Huh.
So it is.
Well.
So Chechnya is a Muslim religion. They put down the Chechen thing. They aren't happy about it. Oh, anyway, back to your point. I agree with you. The first 48 hours, I don't believe anything, which is why I'm super conspiratorial about the ISIS claiming credibility, and that everyone's saying, yep, it was for sure ISIS. Like, everything about it feels like a cover-up. And I'm trying to, like, who's covering up what? Like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, anyway.
It does feel weird.
Anyway. Well, friends, that's a conspiracy theory for the day. This has been...
for the day?
Yeah.
Wait, can I ask one other question?
We had a couple, though. We had the princess conspiracy.
Yeah.
We had the conspiracy to take, over to take over Randy's phone with your intrusive thoughts. And yeah, ask me a question, William.
Okay, I got just one question. Why is the Gaza war still going on? I mean, really? It's a tiny, tiny little place. Why is it still a thing?
There's millions of people involved, and it's not tiny, tiny. I think it's like 80 miles or 100 miles or something.
Yeah, it's like, isn't it smaller than like New Jersey? I think it's like Rhode Island or something.
Yeah, it's because America's gumming it up. That's why. Because America has told them they can't or shouldn't invade this last city, that has Rafah, that has everyone holed up in there. And Israel's trying to figure out how to get America to shut up before they go in. And America's not shutting up because we're just blowing it, because we're complete idiots. Because we just believe Disney movies that we can end wars by being good guys. Like, that's not how you end wars. You end wars by killing bad guys.
I have this friend. I have a friend who's from Gaza.
Yeah.
And he lives here in the States.
We have a couple of friends. We have a couple of friends that are stridently... Well, we have one friend that's stridently in favor of Gaza and one that's not.
Yeah, I don't know. But the one that's from Gaza, he said that the best thing that could happen for my people, the Gazan people, is that Hamas get rooted out, because they're the problem. It's not the Gazan people, obviously. Yeah, I mean,
but the numbers don't bear that out. Okay, Hamas has educated the Gazan people, and they are in favor of Hamas.
By
huge percentages.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Well.
The reason I say that is surveys
are to be believed.
Yeah, I mean, how in the world are they doing that survey? Number one, number two, like, are they afraid of their lives? I mean, Hamas was
I don't know
terrible.
But I am trying to figure out, if I was in charge of taking over Gaza and trying to get it to not be a terrorist state, I'm trying to figure out how you do it and not sound like a brainwasher, like. I mean, I feel like you'd have to populate all the airwaves and all of the schools and all culture with peace messages. And how do you do that and not be and preserve freedom? I don't think you do. So then you're an autocracy all of a sudden. Like, I think it's
possible. I mean, really certainly weird. We did it with Germany and Japan. I mean, both of those places are places where we have strong feelings towards those people. Like, do you think of Germany as like, oh, they're the ones that.
I know it's possible for people to make peace. I don't know if it's possible for people to make peace if one side will always not want peace. So I'm confused by that.
Well, I think that what changes, you know, when a cartel takes over a little town, often the cartel spends a lot of money for the local schools, et cetera, and so forth. I think that you can...
I'm shaking my head already.
You don't think they could do it?
How many billions have we already put into Gaza?
No, I don't.
Did they love us now?
No, I don't think it's. I don't think it's. I think literally, I think they should colonize it and then just bring in. You know, they bring in democracy. They bring in freedom. They bring in not democracy. They bring in representation. They bring in all that stuff.
I think they bring in representation, but it has to be parliamentarian and not powerful. Like they
correct.
Like it has to be like. You're able to vote, but your vote doesn't count kind of stuff, like, well, a while, because they've proven that they will elect Hamas and Hamas will rape and murder. Like,
I don't know how this happened. And this is a rave. I'm sorry. I don't know how this happened in society, that somehow we have this holy idea that democracy is the way to go. It is not. It is not part of our culture. Our culture is a republic. We are a representation, a constitutional republic. There is a
democratic republic.
Right. But there are elements of democracy in it. But if you want to know how democracy really works in the free world, the truth is, if you do direct democracy, you have California.
Yeah, and it's a fiasco.
It's a total fiasco. And I'm not talking...
We are passing laws that we can't afford on the regular because we mount PR campaigns to get the dumbest middle 30% to vote for it.
And it's even worse than that in California. California has a problem, and that is we have direct democracy. We don't have a legislator. We literally vote all the time for these referendums and things, these ballot measures. And these ballot measures get enacted with budgetary restraints on the regular budget. You can't pass laws at the legislative level here in California because there's no money. Yeah. There's no money because X percent went to Prop 40, X percent went to Prop 60, X percent went to Prop. And so you do all of these little peel offs of the actual budget, and you have no way to run it. So listen, you want to know how it works in a real democracy with direct democracy? It's California. It's nuts. It's one party rule. It's all about what can I get? What can I get? What can I get? Do I have enough money to put it on the ballot? That's the kind of stuff we don't want to do. You have to have things like electoral colleges, representations like senators versus how many congressmen you have, et cetera, and so forth. And that balances stuff out. But what I'm trying to say is colonize it. And I don't think colonization is a bad idea, especially if you're going to improve it. Let's improve the infrastructure, improve people's lives. And then over a decade or two, then they can come independent. They can become an independent state and they could be part of the real world. But I just don't think it's going to happen unless it is Israel that does it. And Israel's just got to have a concerted effort and the world money behind it to go in there and build back Gaza into a first world country, because it's next to a first world country. Is Egypt first world? Is Egypt first world?
I don't know. I don't know.
No, they're kind of. But Israel is.
I don't know. I would say Israel is. They're theoretically, I mean, by many, many standards, they're first world. But they still have kind of the there's some third world vibes that are still pretty well persist there. Anyway, friends, this has been the Waystation Podcast, your source for raving about proper implementation of local governments, social commentary, and conspiracy theories. I'm Randy.
I'm William.
Have a good day.